an antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, I'm so very grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. And again, just to update you a little bit, we have revamped our entire website. On that website for you, we have now connected with iTunes, we have podcasts, we have Google Play set up, we have everything there conveniently for you to download all these radio broadcasts. They are free of charge, so go there and explore our website, find out who we are and what we believe at Abounding Grace Radio, and become, we humbly ask, a supporter of this program. You can write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264. Our website is agradio.org. Again, for Abounding Grace, agradio.org. The scene before us is fascinating. Nehemiah chapter 8, we've been studying. 42,000 have gathered into the open square near the water gate. Remember, they had been carried off into Babylon. For years, they had rejected the word of God. They did not listen to God's word, and they experienced afresh his judgment. Here they are, homes burnt, the temple destroyed, the nation of Israel, as they knew it, torn down. Finally, they were ready to listen to God. And they have gathered as one man in the open square. Ezra is holding the word of God. And I want you to notice, they are all one. Men and women and children. This is a worship service. Just like we know today. New covenant worship is here foreshadowed. Who is standing there? Well, we know from Deuteronomy 31, gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and let the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children who've not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess. In other words, stop the children's church, putting it in conventional terms. Why are you sending out the children away from my worship? Why are you sending the children away from hearing the word? Yes, they can understand. It's all about the spirit applying it to the heart. They need this too. Here's what's amazing. From morning until midday, hours upon hours, they simply listened to the word of God. They weren't separated out according to age groups. They weren't worried about time. We live in a day where people can barely sit through a 30-minute sermon without complaining. These people stood through a 5-hour reading sermon. And you see, all this is demonstrating that finally, in humility, their hearts were open to listen to the word of God. Now remember, we studied yesterday, a pulpit was raised. The text says in verse 4 that Ezra stood on a platform of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and on his right hand were the elders. And then verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. This platform of wood, where do I begin today with this and how important this is? I was preaching at a church years ago, and they had a beautiful pulpit that you had to walk up into. And I commented on it to one of the elders, and the elder said, you know what, do you want it? And I said, what? He said, yeah, you can have it. You know, we've just decided as elders to get rid of it. It doesn't connect today with the young people. No one stands behind that anymore. I thought to myself, so goes the pulpit, so goes the church. You know what the pulpit was there for historically, right? You know why there was a big piece of wood put in the middle and the man stood behind it, right? It was because it housed, it held the word of God. It's a beautiful imagery that's put before us. And the man would go behind the pulpit. If you ever go to Europe and you look up and you look in these old Protestant buildings where the gospel was preached, there are pulpits built into the wall where the man had to walk up into it, often to the side so the people didn't even look at him. And he would preach the word of God where the Bible was the emphasis. This was not a stage for showmanship. I asked the question yesterday, can we make the difference? Can we discern the difference? I attended a worship service time and service one time, and in the church there was up on the stage a 4x4 vehicle. And everyone, supposedly that day, the theme was going off-roading with God. And the pastor put on his camping clothes and he was trucking along up there in front of everyone, supposedly giving a message from God. And there was no sense that this man at all was bringing to bear on the conscience God's message. He had created a little niche event with his camping trip to inspire people to have a good time with God. Is this what it's come to? Is this where it's all gone? The man who would stand historically behind the pulpit would herald the word of God. That's what a preacher is. He's a herald. He's a proclaimer. He's a heralder of not his own message. He's a postman. He's delivering somebody else's message. And when he stood on the platform of wood, this is Ezra, notice what the people are doing. They're all worshiping with their faces to the ground. The symbolism here, dear listener, is so beautiful, isn't it? The nation had gathered under the word of God. They were not on equal ground. They were listening to God's spokesman, and there was such an overwhelming sense of God's presence. And when that happens, you know what you're going to see among the people? Reverence. Awe. The holiness of God deeply gripping the heart, submission to his will. You've gathered to meet with God himself. It's an amazing thing that in the days of the Reformation, when that pulpit was raised up, the minister always said, "Let me decrease and let Christ increase." I don't think we see that at all today. We see the minister increasing to his own glory and the people following the man. What happened in this great worship service in Nehemiah chapter 8? This is verse 8. So they read distinctively from the book of the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. So this was what? This was expositional preaching. They would read, and then they would explain the meaning of the passage. You know, if you ever take time to go and study throughout church history, every time there was any kind of sincere revival, it wasn't by some crusade or one sermon sort of phenomenon. You see a lot of chicanery with that. You see a lot of fake things happen with that. Anything that was really sincere was something witnessed over time in the trenches. In other words, what were they doing? What were these pastors doing when there was sincere revival, real revival in the hearts and lives of the people? They're trenching through the word of God. In other words, they're chipping away through the books of the Bible. It wasn't storytelling time. It was straight Bible. And notice what's happening here in Nehemiah chapter 8. All these men are named. Yeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hodijah, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites. And what were they doing? They helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. These were the elders. This is why we have elders, by the way. Elders oversee the preaching of the word, and they help God's people to understand that word. This is an amazing responsibility. It's not one pastor up there as the CEO running everything, and the elders or the board of directors just being yes men. That's not what it is. Here's something to think about as we're working through Nehemiah chapter 8. One of the crucial questions to ask in this passage is, everything today we think would make for bright, vibrant, highly effective, relevant worship isn't here. None of it. You know why? They tried everything in Babylon with the false prophets. They ended up in Babylon because of the false prophets. And, you know, where's the really grabbing stuff we think should be here? Where's the praise band? It's not here. Why? In every major working of the Spirit in history, where there was widespread response to the Lord so as to change someone's life, listen carefully, the centerpiece was always the Word of God. As people stopped up their mouths and were silent, and they longed to listen to what God would say. They had been talking, they had been doing their own thing for too long. Isn't that what's before us? What brought genuine change of life? After hearing the word, what happened? Then all the people answered, "Amen, amen," while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. What a moment. What powerful worship, isn't it? What inspiring worship. What vibrancy, what zeal, what a response. This is the kind of vibrancy and excitement we ministers of the gospel want to see in God's people. Yet what brought it about? It was the Spirit working in the hearts of the people as the Word of God was honored in the way, the method, and the manner it was set before them, proper and befitting of a holy God. Let me ask this question. When do you see hands raised in worship today? Well, it's with the praise music, isn't it? It's with the Kumbaya songs where we feel really, really good and we get on an emotional high. Doesn't really matter too much about the content. It takes away the emotions. Did you notice what happened in this passage? They're yelling, "Amen, amen," and their hands are up. And what caused it? It was the Word of God read. I tell you what, I am full agreement that we should be saying amen. I'm in full agreement that we should lift up our hands. But I'll tell you when we should be doing it. Let's do it when the Word of God, after it's preached, or after the Word of God is read, we say amen and lift up our hands. When we do it then, at least I know it's sincere and we're not caught in emotional manipulation. This is so beautiful here, dear listener. There was fear, there was trembling to think that God had just spoken through the messenger. God had spoke through the Vox Dei, the voice of God in this man was given through the man. And the people shouted, "Amen, amen." There was joy in the Word of God. Do you have joy in the Word? Have you gathered every week under that word? Do you long to be under that word? The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces right into the heart and it exposes everything that needs to be exposed. And when it's exposed, when we cry out, when we see our sin, we turn our faces to the beautiful, glorious gospel of Jesus Christ revealed in this word, and it is there that we receive salvation and life. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program. Write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Again, that web address is agradio.org. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.